You're listening to CKUT broadcast on 90.3 FM in Montreal and online worldwide at CKUT.ca. I'm your host, Jules Bichel, and you are listening to the Local Journalism Initiative Roundup here on CKUT. That's where I share the stories I've been making with the help and support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada. I'm joined by the folks from Montreal's Diving Bell Social Club, which is the latest in a string of venues closing down since the pandemic, but it's not COVID closures that are shuttering the doors. It's noise complaints from neighbors of the spot at Saint-Laurent in Duluth. It's an issue that's been in the news after Saint-Denis Turbo House got hit with a warning last month. Now the city is reported to be changing the way they deal with noise issues in the two boroughs in question. So today, I'm joined by the Diving Bell folks in studio. This is Evan Johnston, Austin Wrench, and Jason Lopes. Thank you all so much for coming to talk to me today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so let's just go back in time a little bit. How did the Diving Bell get started? What was it that made you all come together and say, we want this venue, we want this community space, and we want to do it, as a group?
Yeah, I mean, I can take this one. We have some pretty serious DIY roots. Austin and I ran a space in St. Henry called The Bog a long time ago. Continues to this day without us. And we were ending our relationship with The Bog, thinking that we wanted to do something else, but not really sure what. And I was a co-owner at the time. It was called Blizzards. It's now Barbosa. And was brought up to the third floor of that building by the landlord, who wanted to show me the space and see if we wanted to do anything with it. And upon first glance, it did seem a little like a bad idea. It was full of garbage and old restaurant supply equipment. I mean, garbage, literal garbage bags full of stuff. But I sent some pictures to Austin. There was no lights on in the place, so it looked even worse than it was. And he responded that, yes, we have to do it. And the rest is history. That's why we work well together. Austin and I met Jason at the Bog as well, and so he quickly became a part of the team. And it was a long, arduous process of many, many U-Hauls clearing the space out. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and getting help from our friends. But that's really where it all started.
Yeah. So the HGTV second sense kicked in and you said, I see the potential in the space. What would you say you guys are known for these days?
The Diving Bell, I feel like, is probably, I hope people think of it as a space that is kind of, for a bunch of different kinds of performances. We try to be a place that's as good of a music venue as it is a comedy or drag place. I feel like, now that it's coming to a close here, it's really cool. We've been doing a lot of these big kind of sentimental send-off events for these different communities, and it's really cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, especially on the strip that you guys are on, right? Like, as you said, there's, three other venues in the building? So, that's kind of why it's funny, right? That you guys, part of the reason why you're moving out, you're closing down the venue, is because of these noise complaints you've been getting from neighbors. Can you tell me a little bit more about, how it feels to have survived the pandemic where, right, so many venues and bars and nightlife spots in the city are just no more? And you're coming out of it, you're saying, okay, we're going to be able to start actually doing shows and events again, and now you have this to deal with. How have you been feeling?
I mean, I definitely feel like, in a weird way, obviously there's a lot of new challenges because of COVID and all of these kind of, all of the changes that have happened since. But also weirdly, I would say that the best era of the Diving Bell in its short run was the period directly after everybody was isolated and locked down. The return for all of these communities, I felt like, was a really cool kind of galvanization, I would say, of why we're doing these kinds of things, because I don't know, there was a more clear and palpable sense of just community importance. But I guess that also is noisier. So, and people got used to it being quiet for the better part of 2 years before that. So
We tried our best. Stay-at-home stream sessions and working in the space to do video shoots and that kind of thing. But you know, I mean, our whole purpose is to get people together. So, you know,
there's no substitute for a room filled with like 100 to 150 people all, you know, vibing in the same direction.
Yeah. You said you also tried to do soundproofing and things like that, right? When we talked before, what was that kind of process like? Cause it hasn't all been, you know, just at once that you got one complaint and you said, okay, we're shutting down, right?
No. When we initially opened, we put about $6,000 into soundproofing the wall that we share with this residential building. We also, you know, from the beginning adapted our whole kind of business strategy of like when we're going to run events to kind of only do it on the weekends and have it kind of end by midnight or as close to midnight as possible. You know, it was obviously never our goal to be these annoying, loud neighbors that are disruptive. But I guess it's just, you know, the circumstances after the long kind of COVID lockdown where it was impossible to do what we're there to do for quite a while, long enough that I think a lot of people did move into the building next door, perhaps not realizing what was there before. But like, you know, the other bars in the building, the Diving Bell hasn't been there since the 70s, but there's been bars and whatnot zoned into that building since at least the 1970s. So it feels like a weird thing to move in next door and not have been somewhat aware of what was in store.
Yeah, I mean, even just being like on St. Laurent, I just feel like that's where, you know, a lot of the action happens. And
it's the main.
It just feels that coming back after being off for almost 2 years, it just feels pretty rough to start getting noise complaints so soon afterwards. And just like, you know, we're just really just trying to run something for the community, and we love doing it. And it just feels like, I don't know, they have the upper hand to kind of almost just like, you know, not shut us down exactly, but, you know, hurt us in that way, I guess.
Yeah, tell me more about how that process actually works. Like if you do get a noise complaint called in, what does that look like for you guys?
Yeah, I can speak to that. So, I mean, this isn't something that we were unaware of. You know, we started up the venue on the heels of the closure of Divan Orange that had, you know, noise complaint issues. This is why we, you know, spent all that money in soundproofing and getting techs in to give us the best advice in order to make the least noise possible. So from our understanding, there's no real delineation between a noise complaint that comes from a bar or a club or, you know, your residential neighbor. It really comes down to the discretion of the reporting officer. So if somebody makes a call, often an officer will show up and it's up to them whether they want to issue a citation or a warning. We've received several warnings. And it's been interesting too, because there have been instances where the cops have showed up. They appear almost confused as to where the noise is. We've had discussions with them and the neighbor to kind of really try to resolve these issues, even to the point where, you know, officers were invited into, you know, one of the apartments to gauge the noise from there. And obviously this is anecdotal, but was reported back to us by those officers that it doesn't seem that loud. I guess we'll give you a warning. We're here, so we have to give you something. But then, you know, once you start getting tickets, the fines will increase, you know, over and over and over. And at a certain point, regardless of, you know, the hours of operation that you're legally allowed to work with, it becomes an issue where if you keep getting these tickets, you can't afford to continue to pay them.
Yeah. And I know that, you know, Turbo House, a venue on Saint Denis, was in the news because they were going through something similar, right? And just saying, okay, we moved our bar from Saint Henry to the Quartier des Spectacles, right? Like we've moved to the zone where we're supposed to be. You guys on Saint Laurent, it's the same thing, right? And so what are we supposed to do? And, you know, the city is reported to be trying to come up with new solutions and a new process. you know, what have you been, I guess, experiencing with your dealings with the city of Montreal? Because I know they set up a micro grant program for soundproofing. They're talking about changing the way that things are run right now to put more of the onus on residential property owners in the neighborhood. Like, what's that whole experience been like?
It's really the past very, very short amount of time. You know, even since we've decided to make our exit at this space and look for another one, a lot has been coming out. Like you said, the Turbo House situation. I was reading about something that the city is talking about doing. I believe they call it the agent of change, meaning that if you're an established salle de spectacle or a performance venue, the onus is then on new residential neighbors to be either made aware of it, or I'm not sure how far it goes and if they, you know, their abilities to, you know, complain
doesn't seem
are different.
Like they're
but
doing it.
yeah, there's that. And also, I mean, Sergio from Turbo House made a really apt point, which is, you know, we are getting a noise complaint and being told that, you know, we're not operating properly as a salle de spectacle in the quartier de spectacle. It's like, where, if not there, where are you supposed to do it? And I think some kind of, you know, designation to be able to say, okay, you know, we grant this area as a space where we understand that, you know, cultural events are going to happen. You know, I do really sympathize with folks that are putting in these complaints, because, you know, if it's getting to the point where they've got to, you know, make these phone calls, they're obviously being disturbed in some way. But yeah, I think there's really, there's got to be some kind of allowance for areas or neighborhoods.
Yeah, I think like something has to change, because if you just look on Saint Laurent and after the pandemic, how many businesses have closed? It's just, it's not only venues. I mean, it just seems rough, because it just feels like there's cities dying a bit, you know? There's just, you're walking up and everything's closed and just held by these, it's fine that they're held by these landlords, but they're not doing anything with it, with the spaces. And I don't know. It's just really, it's hard to be a you know, small business. And yeah, it just feels like having these complaints, it just hurts, you know?
Yeah. I mean, especially after Divan Orange, like you guys were saying, right? This is a venue that was very close to yours. And yeah, I closed in 2018 for the same reason. And, you know, at the time there was this like big outcry over it. And especially with Valérie Plante as mayor, like this is somebody who, her whole rep is kind of like the city is where events happen. It seems to be on the priority list. I know things that have been used for this agent of change kind of approach in other cities are like, you know, making, yeah, as you said, new residential landlords, they have to make new tenants aware that there are these noisy venues nearby. They have to themselves invest in soundproofing. Is there anything that like would have made a difference to you, any kind of policy or like overarching solution that's not just, you know, being in an actual different building? Like, what would you guys like to see done?
Well, I mean, I know specifically the neighbors next door. I've been there. I've seen the soundproofing. That there's, you know, there's exposed brick on their side. They have no soundproofing from what I could see. I'm no, you know, specialist with soundproofing or anything, but I feel like if they had invested a similar amount as to what we did on our side, it would probably have not been much of a problem at all for anyone. It seems unfair that a place can be rezoned residential after a place that has already been existing, you know, not the Diving Bell, but just bars already in that building. And then they don't have to really make any adaptations themselves, but can just then call in the the noise complaints. And I don't know, it just seems kind of like a weird system that it's kind of like not, I mean, it's, I don't know, it's tricky.
I can add there too. I think, you know, a lot of cities have it written, you know, into the legislation that there's a certain decibel level. So how loud, you have a device called an SPL reader, and it tells you how loud something is. And there's a limit written down that you can know All right, so I'm checking. You can check yourself. You'll have it yourself. The cops are going to bring it if they're called. You can say, all right, I know at least we're below the level. Because right now, it's just really, it's up to the discretion of whoever shows up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've had, you know, a text message where I don't know if they had a professional SPL level or maybe just one of those iPhone apps that tells you how loud it is. But they gave us a number, and you know, if you looked at that number on paper, I believe it was the sound of a dishwasher running from 4 feet away. So if in that case there was the, you know, if it was up to the actual decibel level, whether or not we'd receive a ticket, it would be, you know, it wouldn't be addressed.
Or it's something that we could work towards, exactly, too, you know, with our soundproofing on the other, on our side too, you know, like if there was a standard that was, we could work within that much easier. Right now it's just very, at least in our neighborhood, it seems like there's not really anything to adhere to. Mm-hmm. You're just kind of waiting to see if they're going to tell you it's too much or if you've done enough soundproofing or not.
Yeah.
And as you were saying, it also puts the onus on the cops who probably don't want to be in that position themselves to just like check the vibes and have to talk to people. And, or, yeah. I mean, maybe they do, right? But ideally, no one would have to be in a position where there's like no hard and fast metrics to make those kind of judgments. But, you know, you guys are doing a final send off this week to the Diving Bell. You've got events coming up, including a last dance disco party on Saturday. But what's next for you guys? What's next for the Diving Bell team?
Well, definitely we're going to take a little bit of a sleepy January, February, I think. it's going to just relish in not having to shovel snow and just be fighting the wintertime version of the Diving Bell, which, I mean, we kind of got a little taste of it right at the end with these busy shows. But, yeah, just not have to deal with the coat piles every single night. It's kind of nice. But we're going to take a little bit of time, a little bit of rest. But the plan is most definitely to move what we're doing to somewhere else. Because ultimately, you know, the space itself with the noise complaints and the inaccessible third floor entrance, there's a lot of things about the space that are not and have never been great or ideal. But I think that what we're doing at the Diving Bell is working really, really well. And I think that transferring that to a space that's more conducive is going to be very fun and exciting.
Yeah. We learned a lot and we built a beautiful community.
Yeah. It's been really rewarding. I wanted to add actually just one thing that we were mentioning before, as far as like the cops coming, just so it's on the record. A cop did once ask me if his band could play at the Diving Bell while he was responding to a noise complaint.
What did you say?
I was like, send me an email. So I tell everyone. He's like, what is this place? Whoa, I have a band, you know? That would have been weird.
Or it could have been a good strategy. You know, no more noise complaints. They all go nowhere mysteriously. No cop ever comes.
We just David part of the problem. Well.
For the next place, we could not.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you all for coming in to chat in studio. And yeah, for folks listening, tickets for the Diving Bell's Last Dance Disco Party are on sale online now. That's happening at their Center Hall space this Saturday, December 16th. Yeah. And this was Evan, Austin, and Jason from the Diving Bell. So thanks again.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah.